Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and this is the place I like to bring topics I find that others are experiencing and may wish for a frank discussion of tips and solutions to improve and inspire their lives. We have a full range of topics, from health and death to dating and cookies, so I'm sure you will be able to find so many different avenues of interest on my archived shows and also on my upcoming shows. You know, I grew up by asking why in all areas of my life, and it is something I still live by today. My guests and I talk about a topic in casual conversation so you, the listener, can feel like you are across the table from us with a coffee or tea. I welcome you, the listeners, and I hope to answer some of your questions as I speak with the guests of the day. If you would like to call into the show, I welcome you to dial 424-258-9318 and then push 1 so I can see your phone number and know that you wish to speak with us. I would also encourage you to follow my show page and you will know what I will touch on next and when my next show is. So now it's time to share with you and start the show and welcome. At the beginning of each show, I started to share products that I have found to improve the quality of life, and each month I'll be talking briefly about them, sharing my experience. Today I'm sharing about memory. What can we remember about names, places, you know, what we had for lunch yesterday? I really don't think it's that important to remember what you had for lunch yesterday, but if that is a sign that your memory may be failing, then that is important to know. The company is Quincy Bioscience, and the product is called Prevagen Professional. You know, the reason I started taking it was because I had several stressful life events in the past 10 years, and I just found the things I was starting to forget. My kids would tell me, I'm not paying attention, or you need to write that down, or aren't you listening to me? And I really felt that that was a problem and something I needed to look at. So I take one capsule of Prevagen Professional, 40 milligrams. They also have a 10 milligram. If you're interested, you can ask them. I take it one capsule per day, and it really has significantly helped in my memory. The product, Prevagen Professional, it has a unique ingredient to help improve short-term memory and word recall. It does not interact with any other supplements or medications, and I know that's very important because so many people are taking so many different things. One day you could be taking 10 different things, go to the doctor, and he changes it to another 10, or something's always changing in your life. It has no common allergens, and I know that's very important for me because I have a significant seafood allergy, and I also don't like soy or dairy. And research has shown it can reduce brain cell loss up to 50%. You know, I think that's a great margin and worth saying again. It can reduce brain cell loss up to 50%. Now, that doesn't mean you wait until 50% of your brain cells are gone, and then you're going to take this product, and they're all going to come back. Not going to happen. So if you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and you're starting to notice a few short things, that's probably time to start taking it then because you don't want to be past that 50% loss. You know, if you can retain what you have and keep things in good working order, better off you'll be in the long run. I would encourage you to give them a call and ask them how Prevagen Professional may help you. Their phone number is 888-895-6463. They have tons of clinical studies and reports about how Prevagen Professional has helped others. You just need to ask them for some help. So if you give them a call and you mention that you heard it on the radio show and you have some questions and you don't really understand if this would help you or what it would even do, all you need to do is ask for help and they will find someone to talk to you on the phone about that. Again, their number is 888-895-6463. You know, I know it works for me, and I just wanted to share this with you. So today, a topic dear to my heart, dating over 40. I think I went around that dating wheel so many times, I felt like I was on a roller coaster over the past 30 years. So my two guests They're really great women who work together on supporting women in dating over 40. You know, that 40 and that 50 and the 60 when you want to step out of life because you're like, I just don't want to ride that pony again. And, you know, I think the pony might have even changed. I don't even think it is the same person anymore. So Amy Sherman, who is a licensed mental health counselor, and Rosalind Sadaka, who is the founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, they are authors of a book called 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and 60. And they can help us in giving us some tips and ideas about dating in that time of our life when we really are being challenged about who we are and what we really want to do. So welcome to my show, Rosalind and Amy.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you so much. You know, this is, as I said, this is a, definitely a topic that I think a lot of people are having issues with these days. It's so difficult to step out, you know, and see what's really out there anymore. So could you give us a little more information about you both?
Certainly. This is Rosalind, and in addition to being a dating and relationship coach, I'm an author. I'm also a certified corporate trainer, and I do a lot of my work in the divorce and parenting arena, as well as dating and relationships, as founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, and I'm also the author of How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce. I'm a blogger, a regular weekly blogger for the Huffington Post, and on the board of directors for the Toby Center for Family Transitions and Online Parenting Programs, where Amy and I co-authored an 8-hour and 12-hour anger management course for parents who are divorcing and other adults who are having issues in managing their anger. So that's the kind of work I do, and both of us together do a lot of workshops and trainings and seminars and teleseminars because we find that women in midlife have special issues that need to be addressed, and we want to be able to support them as they move through the middle years of their lives in making better decisions and having happier outcomes.
Hi, I'm Amy Sherman, and I am a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Florida, and I'm also a relationship coach. And I have been a therapist for over 20 years, working with couples having difficulties in their relationship, as well as single people, individuals, just going through whatever it is they're experiencing. I have found over the 20 years, though, that all of the couples that I have worked with, one of their main issues was communication, lack of understanding of the other partner, what the needs are, and how they could become more stable and understanding of each other. And I used a lot of what I have heard over the years to use in our 99 Things book as well as the anger management book. I have found that people want to connect. They don't know how, and especially in recent times, I have put together a website, the Baby Boomers Network. So I started working specifically with people in midlife because I have found that a lot of my clients are a little older, working through their transitions. Many of them are divorced. Many of them have not even been married and are having relationship problems. So I'm using all of what I have experienced in therapy to put together some, to get some understanding as to what people are for, and that's how the 99 Things book basically came about, as well as the anger management course, having heard so many things from people who are angry and going through divorce, as Rosalind was saying. So that's where I'm at. I'm also a blogger, and I put together the anger management course with her. I guess that's it.
Great. Well, you know, everybody says about anger, and, you know, we always have They say, I'm angry because I got a divorce, or I'm angry because someone passed away or left me or whatever. But, you know, many times I think they say that at the end of a relationship, but you also wonder, do they have any anger that may have pent it up before they even engaged in that relationship prior? So in other words, even when we're young and we're teens, or when we're in our 20s and we get married, did we even have any of those characteristics that we that relationship filled? In other words, making us feel more important or better or whatever. And when the spouse left, or either way, divorced or had passed away, isn't that really too about saying, you know, maybe that's something about you that's maybe not always about the other person?
Well, I totally agree that you really hit it on the head there. We bring into all of our relationships who we are and our life experiences. And if we don't have the ability to look inside, especially when we're in that transition period between relationships, if we've had a divorce and we're starting over again, and if we don't take the time to really do the inner work and question what part we played in a situation that didn't go well, what a role our personality played, the decisions we made, etc., then we're going to be deceiving ourselves, and we're going to do what too many people do, which is the roller coaster of reconnecting with the same person over and over again, even though they have a different face and a different name, but it's the same type because we haven't made any shifts or adjustments. And that's why Amy and I stress so much in our programs and in our personal coaching that we have to really identify what's going on, what did we bring to bear, and how can we be different next time around. So we're looking at a lot of old baggage. We bring baggage. Our partners bring baggage. It's there. It's part of our life experience. And we have to learn how to untangle that and take responsibility. And I think taking responsibility is one of the biggest challenges any adult has in life, because it's so easy to blame the ex, to blame the former partner, to blame anyone around us for the circumstances that we're in. It's hard to look and finally say, the one person who was involved in every single relationship I've ever been in is me, and I played a part in them all. And now, what can I do to make a shift? And that's the key component.
You know, I can look back on my old and my past relationships and my marriages, and I can see, you know, each time, the first one and the second one, it took me until now, I would say probably, I think it's, 20 years later, that I sat back and I started evaluating exactly what the positive things those things relationships gave to me. What did they help me with? What did it help me see about myself? And I can say to this day that I still do speak to both of those ex-husbands, because we've both grown separately and then come to a common place where everything is fine, and look at where we are now, and it's a better place. You know, and how many people can actually say that anymore? You know, they want to drag that suitcase along with them, and, you know, and they just can't. It just can't work all the time. I mean, you know, how many ghosts can live in one house, you know, when you keep bringing in new people?
That's absolutely right. And you did it right, Dr. Jeanette. You know, from my own experience with my clients, many clients will say to me, I am so angry. And what they're really saying is, I am so hurt. I am so guilt-ridden. Right. I am so disappointed. I am so frustrated. You know, people use that word anger as the umbrella for how they feel, and they really aren't in touch with what it is they really are feeling. And that's partly why it's so good to have a coach, somebody to help guide you through some of those feelings that you're experiencing. So once you identify it, you could get past it. You could understand it, why you're feeling that, and then let it go. Because part of getting past those negative feelings is that release. And once you have that release, you're able to get move on, have a healthier relationship. You know, I just had a client this week who told me that her earlier boyfriend, before this present one that she has, cheated on her in college. And now she's with this other guy who cheated on her again. And she says she can't believe that all those old feelings are back up there again. And she had no idea that she was still holding on to all the anger that she had from the first relationship. So it's so important to understand what it is you're feeling and what it is you're bringing to a new relationship, because many times those triggers all of a sudden will be there again, and you'll be, you know, the song will come up that will trigger those feelings, a statement will come up that will trigger the feelings, you know, something will trigger feelings from the past. So getting rid of the feelings, understanding what those feelings are, releasing the feelings is really part of getting rid of that anger that you were talking about earlier.
You know, I think so, too, when you say about anger. You know, when we say, well, I'm angry that no one's here anymore, so now I'm alone. And then, yes, you are alone, so is the issue you don't like to be alone? You know, and
yes,
working on that and totally out of context of the other person or the next person or whatever, and maybe live alone for a while and know what that is and how that feels, and then maybe you just needed to learn to stand on your own. So that relationship, it wasn't a bad one. It just gave you the you know, like it was sort of like a golden key. It gave you the realization today that you can say, my goodness, I can stand on my own 2 feet. I'm here by myself today, you know, and so many people can't see that.
Yes. That's very significant.
Go ahead, Rob.
It really is. I just wanted to add another piece to the equation, and that's also forgiveness work. We have to learn to forgive the other party and, even more important, forgive ourselves. I know a lot of women will hold on to grudges towards others and also hold on to feelings about themselves where they're ashamed, embarrassed, guilty, and other negative emotions that hold them in place, and they can't let go and forgive themselves. And when you can't do that, that means you can't move on. You're sort of stuck, and it's a self-made prison. And it keeps you from having healthy new relationships because you're really caught up in the cages or surrounding you of your own thinking. So you free yourself by learning to forgive yourself. If I knew better, I would have made better decisions. Now I've evolved in some ways. I have more insight, and I'll make different choices. And you can let go of the past and also let go of the anger and resentment and hurt towards the other parties in your life. They also, if they knew better, would have done better. And if you hold on to the anger against them, especially when it's an ex and there's a marital relationship and children and things that get very complicated, what you're doing is keeping everyone stuck. And the energy we have, it plays a big part in attracting new relationships to us. When we're stuck thinking about the past, reliving the past, and throwing daggers at the past, we can't really invite a healthy new relationship into our life that's going to be meaningful and lasting.
You know, I think when you say about bringing someone new in also, you always think about the factor of if you have not stopped and analyzed and helped yourself and, you know, gave thanks for the past and thanks for today and forgiveness, as you have said, is that not also when someone else comes into your life, you're going to say, well, now I'm going to get it. I didn't get it before, but now I'm going to get it this time. And you're sort of like already have this tape recorder playing in your head, and you already have a scenario picture that you're expecting someone else to just drop in and fill that space, sort of like a placeholder. And how irresponsible is that, you know, as us, to expect someone else to conform into that when that really, that almost abolishes the humanness of that other person. You know, they're coming into a situation where it's like, you know, what am I supposed to be doing here?
Yeah, you
totally.
Know, you should never go into a relationship to be completed by the other person. We talk about empowerment, and women need to feel empowered, autonomous. They need to feel independent, significant, and worthy. And, you know, many times they're losing themselves in their relationship. You know, women are people pleasers. They want to please their partner. They'll do what they need to keep the relationship, especially if they're insecure. So they sacrifice themselves for the relationship. They disregard their friendships, a family, you know, to do and be with this other person. So we talk about empowering the woman so that she feels, well, she can make healthy choices, nurturing herself, understanding her value, recognizing her strengths, her talents, her gifts, you know, things that make a person whole so that, again, when you go into a relationship, you are going in as a whole person, and hopefully your partner is as well, so that you kind of enhance each other rather than complete each other. I'd like to focus on the four basic rights that we all have, and that's the right to want what we want, the right to feel what we feel, the right to think what we think, and the right to say no. And many times in a relationship, one or all of those rights just get sideswiped. You lose it. You forget that you could feel and say and do what you, you know, you have a right to your own opinion. And, you know, and we could talk about a little later on, you know, what an abusive relationship is like, but that's what an abusive relationship will do to a person, is diminish them so that they do not feel empowered. So before going into a relationship, do, as Roz had said earlier, the inner work so that you feel empowered, you feel strong enough, you feel like an individual who has you feel fulfilled enough to go into a relationship so that you're contributing an important part to the relationship, and hopefully that person will be doing the same for you.
You know, it definitely is so different when people are actually empowered in themselves and they're able to look at that and not feeling like they're always going out to fill that other little space. You know, I can remember when I live in New Orleans, and I lived in New Orleans in the 70s, and it was around the mid-70s, and I would go out, you know, as a college student, we would go out to this place, and it was called La Boucherie. And La Boucherie, in French, is the meat market, and that's what it means. And it was so funny, because that's exactly where everybody would go, you know, and everybody would be at La Boucherie. And that is exactly how I think at that time I was, probably, and I think a lot of people were. So I think, you know, over the decades we've evolved to be able to say, you know, you don't have to be like that, and there are other ways you can do things. Because I can remember my parents and other elders right now, I'm in my mid-50s, so it's people older, that they can't really see this. They don't really understand that, because that was not reality for them at the time, and they didn't evolve to be able to know differently. So when we say, you know, going out to date at 40, 50, and 60, it takes a lot of work for a 60-year-old to say, I've got to catch up with all of this. I've got to evolve. I've got to understand myself, you know, and I have to let go of all of those things that went on in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And, you know, that is a big cord and chain to cut. I think that's very difficult for most people, and you know that's more than scary. I think you feel like you got a vacuum cleaner on your black hole. How can I possibly do that? I don't even know how to even start. You know, right?
Yeah, and that's what happens, that keeps a lot of women from getting out there. There are a lot of people who just are sitting by and watching life go by because they're afraid. They're intimidated, they don't want to take risks, and so they don't even make tentative steps out there. And it's a shame, because there are wonderful things that can be happening when they get out into the social world. Even if they don't meet the forever Mr. Right, they can be having fun and make other friends, even with other women, and enjoy themselves. But it's intimidating in midlife because of what we tell ourselves. We tell ourselves, I'm too fat, I'm too wrinkled, my hair isn't this, I don't look like that, I'm not young, who's going to want me when there are other people out there? And we program ourselves into believing we don't have value and worth. And I think one of the biggest problems is we have unrealistic expectations as well, which really muddle the waters. If we have expectations of the knight on the white charger that's from our being little teenagers, and that's still in our minds, so that we reject anyone who comes along who isn't a perfect George Clooney, or if we have romantic expectations that are very unrealistic, then we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. A lot of women were programmed with fairy tale thinking, and even though they're in their 50s and 60s, they can
right.
still have that kind of programming, and it really creates a very unhappy life for them because they're not living in reality. And another part of that thinking is believing that it's your partner's job to make you happy. Again, that not taking responsibility for yourself and your life kind of mentality. A lot of people are very judgmental, and if he didn't do this right and didn't do that right and he's not saying or doing this, and we're putting all the expectations on the partner as if they are there just to make you happy, never thinking of the fact that he may be expecting the same thing from you, so that what starts out with lots of stars and fireworks ends up very disappointed because both parties have unrealistic expectations and fairy tale thinking. We have to be realistic and focus on what really matters in relationships and the qualities and character traits that really make for lasting relationships, not the superficial material things that are going to change and fade, especially with age and time. And the more we focus on that, the more delighted we can be when we end up finding someone who's a treasure, who has wonderful qualities, wonderful traits, a sense of humor, a person that you want to spend a lot of time with because of who and what they are. And that takes some thinking and maybe some transitioning for us before we step out there again, so we're moving into a realistic place of expectations.
You know, a lot of times, too, I think we get hung up on the word dating, and we always think that dating is going to be this process that is elusive, and then we think that dating has to go to a formal relationship, when really it might just be go out and meet people for a companion. You know, I mean, how many people just need another person as a companion, be it whoever they are or whatever sex they are, whatever age they are, it really isn't the point. You know, it's just have a companion. That's what they're really looking for is, you know, hey, you sit down and you think about it. And you say at times, do you know I haven't spoken to one person other than the television, you know, for a week or two or months or, you know, maybe even some people years, you know? Who have they spoken to? Just the UPS guy and the mailman, you know? And they just don't even, and you don't even get to, you even get to the point where you don't even hear your own voice because you don't even use it, you know? And how drawn into yourself, and it's time to put that out there. So even just finding companions. I know myself this past weekend, I was looking for people for more guests for the show, and I went out to a local fair and had given out some cards and things, and I walked up to anything. I would watch their art and stuff. I said, oh, you look really interesting, you know, and I'd walk up and I'd start talking to them. And my husband said, he said, are you crazy? He says, you're just talking to everybody. And I said, yeah, that's just who I am. I just do. So getting into that practice of speaking to everybody, or how do you get yourself out there first? You know, don't worry about the dating line, you know. I mean, let me tell you, I see my daughter go out every day with those really high shoes and the really short dress and really skinny, and she's got white blonde hair that's natural in her blue eyes, and I'm thinking, I can never compete with that. Well, you know what? If you think that you're going to date with a guy that's going to compete with that, that's looking at that, then that's not the guy you want anyway.
That's true. You know, because we're dealing with people who are over 40, 50, and 60, we recommend that they don't go to what you call the meat markets,
yeah.
You know, not to go to bars, not to go to places where you don't feel uncomfortable. What we suggest that you do is go to places where you would ordinarily would go anyway. So if you like to bowl, then go bowling. If you like to
right.
go to shows, go to shows. If you like hiking, then join a hiking club. Go to the gym. You know, we like to encourage people at that age to go where they feel comfortable because you're going to enjoy it anyway, whether you meet somebody or not. And you'll be surprised that if you're in a venue that you enjoy and you meet somebody, you start talking to somebody who's also a wine connoisseur, you know, and you join the wine club, then you have something already in common with them. And it's a very casual, comfortable experience rather than going where these, you know, young, you know, bars or
right.
clubs, because that's too uncomfortable for somebody this age. And we want to make sure that people are not afraid to go out and socialize, because as we all know, that the, you know, it's very important to socialize as you get older. You never want to isolate yourself. You never want to sit, like you said, sit in front of the boob tube and just
right.
watch TV all day. That's not healthy. It's not good for your brain cells that you were talking about earlier.
Right.
So, yeah, so we encourage, you know, go to the bookstore if you like to read, go to libraries, cultural events, ballets, fundraisers. I mean, there's millions of things that you could go to where you will be involved, part of the community, you know, church and, you know, your religious affiliations, you know, do those kinds of things and talk to people, because you already have that common thread that makes it comfortable just to strike up a conversation with anyone.
And I think almost the idea, too, of taking the word, like I said, dating away, and just say, I'm just going to go and talk. If I talk to five people
mm-hmm.
today and I go to the same function next week, I might talk to five more, or I might talk to the same five. You know, and what process that might lead into is whatever it is. And, you know, you could go sit at a bookstore and just see who sits next to you, or go to a fair.
Exactly.
You know, and sit down and listen to music, see who sits next to you, you know, why not? You can talk to anyone and anything that walks, as I used to always say, you know.
Right.
Anybody that's got legs and a mouth, you'll be happy to talk to, you know. It doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
who or what, you know, just getting that communication going again.
And, you know, we also like people to be a little more prepared as well. You know, some people are shy, and I don't care if you're 60 years old. You may always be a shy person and have difficulty talking to somebody. So what we suggest is to prepare yourself for conversations. Come up with a list of topics that you think will be, you know, openers, you know, where somebody will feel comfortable, you know, so that you're not stuck standing next to somebody and you don't know what to say. So it's always good to prepare yourself before you actually go out to an event, or certainly even when you're on a date, you know, the first time, to prepare yourself, make sure you have a good conversation, a list of things that you could talk about that are not that are benign, you know, comfortable conversation topics that are not going to be offensive to anybody, so that you feel comfortable and they feel comfortable. Obviously, you want the situation and the experience to be a positive experience for everybody who's there.
Well, could you give us your websites and some information on how they could purchase your books, or some of these locations? Are they able to find out more?
Certainly
sure.
can. You can find us at womendatingafter40, that's 40.com, womendatingafter40.com. And on our website, you can pick up our free ebook, Smart Dating Advice for Women Over 40, Answers to Your Most Asked Questions. And that's free. Just give us your email address. We'll be happy to send that right out to you. There are wonderful tips. And we also have a weekly tip of the week that'll come to you by email, with just another insight, tip, advice, some pearl that you can think about during the week, and will spur you on to feel better and more encouraged. And the book itself, 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and yes, 60, is available on that website or at Amazon, and it's also available in a Kindle digital version as well as a softcover book, so you have a choice of versions. And in addition, we have a Dating Rescue e-course, which is a wonderful 10-week course. And every week you get a different module with interesting information to read about dating and relationships, followed by exercises and quizzes and journal information, so that you really have something to contemplate, and each week it builds on the next. And we're very proud of this course. We've gotten some fabulous feedback, and it's available at womendatingrescue.com. So we hope you'll check that out. We have a special discount rate on it, and it's really a gift to give to yourself to when you're transitioning into dating, especially for those who haven't been successful and are frustrated and are feeling that they know that something's not being done right. This will give you some new ideas on how to venture ahead.
Well, here's another question, too, I'd like to get into about talking about abuse, but also talking about, you know, the sexual part or intimacy that seems to be varying. You know, I mean, a lot of times people will say, well, there's no way, I just can't perform like I used to, or I'm worried about all this, that, and the other, and or I've never been with one person for my whole life, and now how am I going to stack up, you know, against the competition? You know, that is a very significant barrier to holding people back.
Certainly is. Amy is the expert on abuse, so I'll let her handle that, but I'll talk a little bit about intimacy first. And that's very important in midlife. You know, everything is about the inner dialogue, what we're telling ourselves, because if we're telling ourselves things that are not supporting us, then of course we're going to be intimidated and feel very uncomfortable about sexuality. So it's important to have the empowerment to be able to set limits and goals and move at your own pace. You don't have to do what you don't want to do, and you don't have to follow rules. I know people throw around things like by the third date you have to have sex or something's wrong with you. None of that is true, especially when you're dating in midlife and you're dealing with men who are age appropriate. So you have to determine the pace at which you're comfortable. You're comfortable. First, you should be talking about sex and intimacy and those things. If you don't feel comfortable discussing it, I don't think you should really be moving ahead into doing it, because you'll be more hurt that way when you find things happening that are not comfortable for you. So find someone that you feel comfortable talking with, laughing with, and then touching with, and then you could move into different levels of intimacy at your own pace. And if someone is intimidating you about your pace, then I don't think that's an appropriate person to be with. I do need to bring out that the statistics show there's a very high rate of sexually transmitted diseases among middle-aged and older people. And we have to make people aware, just because you may be in menopause and beyond and not thinking about getting pregnant, that doesn't mean there aren't dangers. So you have to be very careful about the kinds of protection and talking about all of those things, bringing them out in the public, and paying attention to hygiene and everything related. And don't do anything. Don't let anyone ever intimidate you into doing anything that is beyond your comfort zone, because relationships are about fun and expressing intimacy and warmth and love and good feelings. And if you're in a relationship where you're not having those good feelings, then you're on the wrong track. And that leads us into Amy's advice about the danger signs.
Yeah, you know, there are red flags. I ran a domestic abuse program for 6 years, and I had support groups for women and for men, because men are in abusive relationships. Unfortunately, it's on the rise. For everyone, 1 in 4 women have had been in or are in abusive relationships. I'm sure everybody even knows somebody who was either physically abused, emotionally abused, sexually, or even financially abused. And so nobody is immune from it. It cuts across religious lines, age brackets, genders. It just, everyone is, it can, you know, teenagers we know are in abusive relationships, date rape. So there, you know, no matter how old you are and no matter how sophisticated you think you are, you could get caught up in this, what I call the insidious relationship, where you don't even realize it's happening to you. You're swept off your feet by someone who is charming, vivacious, funny, says all the right things, and before you know it, you are emotionally caught. You're trapped in a web of confusion, anxiety, and even fear. And, you know, many times people think that abusive relationships is only, you know, physical, where you're hit and, you know, and that's it. But the emotional abuse that many women and men experience is so much more damaging than the physical abuse, because, you know, the scars, the pain, you know, does go away, but that emotional turmoil that you're feeling inside really takes hold, and many women lose who they are. They lose their self-esteem. They lose their confidence. You know, the women that I had in my support groups, some of them were married 50 and 60 years. I had 80, 90-year-old women who
right.
were saying, you know, if only I knew, you know. They don't even realize they are in these kinds of relationships. So what are the red flags? And, you know, the obvious ones are, you know, if somebody hits you, you know, you run the other way. And don't take it as, oh, it's just an isolated incident. Usually physical abuse will get worse and it escalates. It you know, increases in duration and intensity over time. So you certainly don't want to ignore that if you're caught up in that kind of experience. But the emotional abuse, is somebody jealous? Does somebody, you know, where are you? Who are you with? Why didn't you call me? You know, constant questions where you feel like you're interrogated all the time. Does your partner isolate you from friends and family, saying to you, oh, they don't really love you. They're not out for your best interest. You know, and make comments where you start questioning, well, maybe he's right. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they don't know. Do they minimize, you know, how you're feeling? Oh, don't feel that way. I was only kidding when I told you you were crazy. Things of that nature where you start questioning how you're feeling. You know, if you feel, you know, why am I crying all the time? Why am I so hurt all the time? And then they say, oh, you're too sensitive. Things, you know, statements like that which make you constantly doubt who you are as a person. Are they quick to anger, you know, so that you're constantly getting into arguments all the time and you feel like you're walking on eggshells? You know, you're so intimidated that if you open your mouth, they will just go into a tirade. Are you verbally abused? Are you called stupid or dumb or you know, any insulting word that makes you feel belittled and diminished? Does your partner have road rage? They're constantly yelling at people on the road, because that's an indication that they will probably have that with you as well. Do they control what you wear, how you look, the clothes you put on? You know, are they so controlling that you're just afraid to bring anything up? And, of course, the last thing, which is so important, and this is usually, you know, when you're already caught in that relationship and maybe even married, you know, are you financially abused, where you have to ask for an allowance, or they give you an allowance so that you don't have control of the money because they feel that they know better than you in terms of money? I have had women who have experienced all of those, including sexual abuse, and Roz spoke about that, because if you're feeling uncomfortable about anything you are doing sexually with your partner, and you don't feel that you could say something about it, then you are probably being abused. And I had a woman who was married about 40 years with her husband and had no idea that what she was doing, and she never really revealed to me the intimacies of what was going on, but she said that it was abusive when she finally realized what was going on. It was so uncomfortable for her to do whatever it is they did. So the bottom line with all of this is that there are red flags. And you have to trust your intuition. You have to trust what feels right or does not feel right to you. Many times we discard it. You know, you will not walk down a dark alley in the middle of New York City, for instance, where there's no lights, by yourself. You'll know that that's not a smart thing to do. Well, the same is true if you are feeling uncomfortable with what your partner is saying or doing with you. You need to feel that, you know, I could say something to him about that, you know, and have a conversation so that he understands. And if you can't do that, that is definitely a red flag. So women need to, from the get-go, understand that if you're not that desperate, and I put that in quotes, that you have to be with somebody who makes you feel less than who you are. Because
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, you know, we are important, and we are, you know, significant enough to know that we deserve a wonderful person who gives us exactly what we want and we need in a relationship, and that's what we're looking for rather than the other kind.
But also, you know, it's great to say, you know, we as women looking out and then watching for that out, but what about the type woman who is looking to date but also is the perpetrator? So, you know, well, it's great you're looking at it out there, but you may be also taking and holding in your own little deck of cards where you are the perpetrator that is the abuser, that is that person that is doing that, and you're just ready to unleash that on anyone else. So, you know, that is a big difference.
Yeah, I had a men's group, so there were many men who were married to women who were very abusive, very controlling, and also physical with them. And, you know, it's heart-wrenching either way, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how to get out of these kinds of relationships. You feel helpless, and it feels hopeless, but there are, you know, avenues out, and certainly, you know, seeing a therapist, finding out your options, getting out, you know, having a safety plan so that you know where you could go safely, because many times it's more dangerous when you're outside of the relationship. And we see all, you know, these articles in the newspaper, estranged, you know, wife was killed, you know, by the husband, and mm-hmm. or vice versa. So, yeah, you need to make sure that you have the best safety plan and an option, you know, for your safety, and if you have children, for your children's safety as well.
And also, if you're a perpetrator, you need to get help. You need to not be out there dating.
Yeah.
You need to not be around. Because someone, and also I think that, let's say you're a woman and you're sitting down in a group of people and you do see another woman doing that or another man doing that, I think the point is also your empowerment time, that is time to stand up and say, you know what, that isn't right. You know, or if someone's speaking with someone and you know that they're doing it, and it's like you need to, you know, observe that. But everybody likes to go at life in blinders, you know. Oh, it's not affecting me. I'm not going to worry about it. It's not on me. They can do what they want to do. Why? Why can't you turn to the next person and say, you know what, does that really sound right to you? Because maybe that other person didn't realize that. Or maybe that other person is trying to fill a need, and maybe you saying that to them, they'll be like, you know what, I thought about that, and maybe I need to figure it out from there. You know, I really, you know, people need to start standing up for other people too and say, you know, look at that. Wow, did you just see what he just did? You know, or speak up. Do not sit there with blinders on.
Yeah. You definitely need to find a trusted friend to talk to about it, or if your trusted friend notices, you know, things, that, to speak up about it, because, you know, it's dangerous. These kinds of situations are dangerous. And I just wanted to say one thing about the perpetrator or the abuser. You know, Roz and I made this anger management course, which is very valuable for people who are abusive and have anger issues. And it does take them through many different areas of great insights as to what they need to do to change what they're doing. The, you know, many of people who are court ordered to go to anger management courses are forced to do it, you know, by the courts, and they don't want to, so they're not going to get anything out of it. But if, you know, we're hoping that people with insights, if they're realizing that people are telling them, hey, you have an anger problem, you know, why are you always angry, that they themselves will go do the anger management course to get the insights they need, to change what they need to do, and then have healthy relationships. Because, you know, many of the abusers, be it man or woman, they love their partners, but they just don't realize how, you know, what they're doing and how it's impacting the other person. So with some very good insights and very good lessons and, you know, good programs, you know, they can, you know, with the willingness to do it, make some good changes that will change their lives and the lives of the people around them.
Well, you know, we have coming up on 10 minutes left to the show, so I'd like to change into a lively thing. Can you tell us about, from both of y'all, about what is a keeper? What is somebody you do think? And, you know, and to me, a keeper is not someone you have to marry, is not someone you have to live with. It is not someone you have to anything. It can just be whatever it is. So if we can talk maybe about what that might be.
I'd love to talk about the keeper, because sometimes we overlook a wonderful person. And these are qualities, you know, they're not dramatic. Some people love to live in drama, which are the situations we were previously talking about. When you're with a keeper, it's just fun and happy and pleasant, and that's so important in a relationship. So you want to find someone that you're comfortable being yourself with, someone who isn't trying to mold you into changing, and that your time together is really enjoyable, and that you're hooked on more than just romance. that there's other factors that, that fill your relationship, even when it's not in the romantic or the sexual side of things. Is this a partner that's emotionally available? Not all men are, and when you have someone who's emotionally available and can communicate about what they're feeling, it's really a plus. Is it someone who's respectful? That's such an important quality, someone who respects you and treats you respectfully, even when they're disagreeing with you. Do you feel that you're with someone who you could really say is your best friend? That's a very important component. You want to spend time with a good friend and someone that you trust in that way. Also, keep in mind, do your family and friends like this person? Generally, if the consensus is negative, you may be overlooking something and you may want to listen to family and friends. Does this person keep their agreements? Are they dependable and trustworthy? That's so important down the line when you're having the lifelong kind of relationship that so many of us want. You want a partner who's there for you and that you can depend that their word is good. And do you feel a synchronicity between the two of you, that there's something special in that bonds you and keeps you together? And sharing a common vision of the future is also important. When people have very vastly different views on where they're moving ahead in life, if one person wants to be extensive traveling and the other one is a homebody, for example, one person wants to spend a lot of time with the children and grandchildren and the other one just wants to be off with friends and hotels, then that can create issues down the line because you're not just seeing eye to eye. So these are things to talk about. And when you find that you're with someone who shares a lot of what I just spoke about, that's a keeper. That's someone that you really want to look at and say, this is a person who I can spend time with, not only in the next few months, but on a longer-term basis. Even if it doesn't have to be a marriage, but it's someone that is worth your valuable time and someone who will be rewarding in a relationship with you.
You know, it's so important. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add, I had a client this week who said to me, you know, she does not know what a healthy relationship is.
Yes.
And going along with this keeper is understanding what really is a healthy relationship. You know, we see romantic things on TV. We see the movies have all these romantic things. And that's what many women will base their criteria on. But what really, really is a healthy relationship? And Roz touched on it. You know, when you find somebody who shares all these things with you and you feel comfortable with them and they're emotionally available, there's also, you know, this mutuality. There's a balance between closeness and separateness so that you're able with your partner to do your own thing, I mean, without your partner, rather. You know, you could go off with your friends. You could do your own thing. You could have your own interests, and so should he. And then you understand that, you know, when you're together, you share something else. That's healthy. That's what makes a healthy relationship. There's also, you know, you have fun together. You know, we talked about this before. There's a lot of playing and there's a lot of laughing and having fun and mutual interests where you could play together and everything is not serious and discussion and, you know, all the nitty-gritty of life. You know, you want to be able to have somebody who is fun to be with, and that's what makes a healthy relationship. You know, and another thing, we didn't talk too much about this, but that communication, you know, being a really good listener. When your partner talks to you, are you listening? Are you nodding your head? Are you saying, aha, you know, are you repeating back what they say so you're sure you're clear with them? Communication could either make or break a relationship. And in a healthy relationship, you know, it holds the relationship together. It's basically the foundation of all relationships is communication. Excuse me. You also, you know, in a healthy relationship, you want to be able to encourage each other so that there's no competition. You know, one person doesn't want to, you know, so if you won an award, you don't want to say, oh, well, you know, the big deal, but rather, you know, express your thrill and joy for that person, and they should do the same for you. So there shouldn't be any competition. You know, you want to be able to express your feeling of self-worth, because that's who you are. You know, you are your worth, and you want to be able to express that in a healthy relationship, so that you don't feel, as I talked about earlier, that feeling of diminished, that you're not important. And another very important thing is that you have to be willing to compromise in a healthy relationship with a person who you're considering to be a keeper. Conflict is really faced directly, and there's a lot of resolution. You know, so there's not stuff hanging. There's no, regret or grudges that are left hanging. So that you really want to work things through, discuss things, have an open, dialogue about stuff, and compromise so that it's a win-win. So that's what makes, I think, a healthy relationship. And when you're looking for somebody who is a keeper, you want to make sure that you have some of those components, because that's really what makes it it'll make a long-lasting, fulfilling relationship for you.
You know, I can remember in reference to what you just said, I can remember one time I had a relationship where the person said, well, why should I be proud of you? When you do something important, let me know. And it was like, whoa. You know,
ooh.
Screech
right.
That card a halt, and get
ooh.
Out. Because,
back
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look back at it, and you ask the person, why did you say that? And they said, well, I guess it was just a poor choice of words. And you think, how many times around 10 can you justify that's right? That was not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And also when you think about a healthy relationship, too, you have to think about also, it's like a job. So you go to your job 8 hours or 10 hours a day, and you come home for 8 hours or 10 hours a day. So approach them not quite the same, but similarly. Do you want, when you go to work, you don't want to be around someone who's miserable. You don't want to be around somebody who just every single minute is picking at you, or somebody who's not there at all. So, you know, would you go to a job where the boss is never there and he just kind of leaves the stuff on the desk at the beginning of the week? Or do you want to go to have a relationship where he's there all the time standing over your cubicle? You know? Now,
yeah.
Some people may like either one of those relationships, but you have to kind of find something in the middle. So, you have to pick out who you are. You know, I might not like somebody who's home all the time, That might be good for me. So I guess you have to really decide what it is that's important for you. And we're coming down. We have about 2 minutes left. So if you could each just give us one great tip and let us know about how we could reach you.
Yes. Well, the important thing is to honor yourself in everything you do, and then you will be making sound decisions. Don't let yourself give in to someone else and be owned or manipulated by them, and you'll be making the right decision. Amy?
Yeah, well, just to add to that, to live authentically, to be yourself, to be comfortable with yourself, follow your convictions, your integrity, your feelings, and then somebody will be attracted to that, and you'll probably be very compatible finding that ideal person who likes what you offer. One more thing is, if you're looking for somebody with certain qualities, you want to be sure you have those same qualities as well.
Yes.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't want to, go to the – I guess a lot of people, too, say that they're very religious, and if they're not interested in that, that's a quality. That's someone who has something that's important to them. And if you're also someone who visits your relatives and you can't, well, that's another quality also. Could you please give us your website?
Yes, womendatingafter40.com. That's 40. And womendatingrescue.com. Both of those will get you valuable information. The first one, womendatingafter40.com, will get you the free ebook on smart dating advice for women over 40, which is a real valuable resource tool for anyone who's dating.
Great.
And
Thank you so much.
We also do coaching, dating and relationship coaching. And you could get more information at info@ womendatingrescue.com.
Rescue.
Is that correct, Amy?
That's it.
info@womendatingrescue.com. You could contact us, and we'll tell you more about our coaching programs.
Great. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and I hope to have you both back on another time. And if there's anything also you may need in help for our listeners, On the description of the show today, there is a contact for their website for Rosalind and Amy. And also, if you need to contact me, my website is outoftheboxhealthcare.com. And this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. Bye-bye now.